50 years and 2 days after the opening of the Panama Canal, which links the Atlantic and the Pacific Oceans, the worst riot in the history of the Panama Canal Zone occurred. At least 2 American soldiers and 8 Panamanian students are dead, and over 90 are hospitalized. A riot over the issue of the raising of flags within the Panama Canal Zone. But a riot that reflects some deep resentment on the part of the Panamanian people regarding the canal and its operation and control by the United States. What's the background of this story, and what happened with regard to the events of the past 24 hours? First, for background, for the news of the deaths and the rioting are now known to the world, but we will have on-the-spot reports in just a moment. The background of the rioting actually begins with the history of the canal, a zone 10 miles wide, a zone that became a canal in 1914 after many proposals and a railroad link were established, but much delay. A canal that has been a boon to shipping the world over, a canal like Suez that is vital to the defense of at least one part of the world. A canal that some said may now be outmoded for the use of naval vessels, but certainly remains essential for commercial shipping interests. A canal, an agreement for which was made with the Republic of Panama, which pays that country nearly $2 million a year. A canal which does a great deal more business for its operators. The Panama Canal, a link in the defense of the Western Hemisphere and in the commercial history of the world. But what about this Panamanian riot and the resentments that it expressed? There was the case of the Panamanian people and the feeling that the United States was a sovereign nation taking a piece of their sovereign territory. But the American government, back in 1960, announced the possibility of changing some of the regulations. By 1963, the dispute over whether or not even the Panamanian flag could fly within the canal zone seemed settled by an agreement. The Panamanian flag would be raised alongside the stars and stripes in the canal zone. However, Panama has frequently protested, and the New York Times repeats that again today, that her workers do not receive equal treatment with United States workers in the zone. By equal treatment, they mean mostly equal compensation. This, too, at the heart of feelings of resentment. But to the events of the last 24 hours, events which were earlier recorded with earlier rioting of a less serious nature. For a description of what happened at the Canal Zone from a United States military official with the Canal Zone forces, here is the voice of Lieutenant Colonel Lewis Churchibell.
After the students departed, and under the cover of darkness, disorderly mobs invaded the canal zone, where they damaged automobiles, ransacked buildings, set fires, and stoned and fired on police attempting to control them.
Lewis Churchibell, a lieutenant colonel in the canal zone forces, talking of the early phase of the rioting. For the Panamanian view of what happened, we contacted Jose Gabriel Duque, the owner of the Panama Star Herald.
Well, there's been some shooting On the part of the U.S. Armed Forces, stationed at the limit with Panama. They've been shooting at the civilian population of Panama.
As for the extensive damage to the U.S. Embassy, here is Embassy spokesman Carl Davis in this account for Radio New York News.
A mob of approximately 250 to 300 students attempted to enter the embassy. Some of them were carrying Molotov cocktails. They were repelled by the National Guard of Panama, who were assigned to protect the embassy. However, they kept them at a sufficient distance to where they couldn't get their Molotov cocktails in, but they were within rock-throwing distance, so the embassy this morning is without windows.
That was U.S. spokesman Carl Davis on what happened at the United States Embassy. Other buildings, the U.S. Information Agency, and some private buildings, the Pan American Airways office and others, were severely damaged by rioting, which was extensive in Panama City and elsewhere. And as a result of all of this, of course, the ultimate diplomatic crisis. Panama almost completely breaks relations with the United States, calls for an emergency meeting of the United Nations Security Council, and a meeting of the Organization of American States, which will begin shortly in Washington. As for the UN, no final word on that yet. What about the United States State Department reaction and where we stand? For that, here is Bill Downs, ABC Radio New York correspondent in Washington.
State Department officials told ABC News this morning that the first problem in the Panama crisis is to restore order there and then find out exactly what happened before placing any blame. Diplomatic spokesman James Greenfield said that the incident appeared to have been sparked by youthful expressions of Panamanian nationalism. That thus far, there was no evidence of outside involvement, meaning that Fidel Castro did not appear to have a hand in the tragic uprising. It was pointed out that the Panamanian government only suspended diplomatic relations with the United States, not as drastic a move as a complete break. This is Bill Downs, ABC Washington.
Of course, those who follow the developments regarding the Canal Zone, the Panama Canal, and United States relations would like to recall what happened at Suez in 1956. But this does not appear to be that kind of crisis. However, Panama has charged the United States with aggression and plans to take these charges before the Council of the Organization of American States and the UN. Alan Wasser of Radio New York News spoke with Ambassador Vizarentero, the deputy permanent representative of Panama to the United Nations, who outlined the problem confronting the two nations.
The problem was this, you know, according with the treaties, you know, Panama has a right, I mean, the Panamanian flight is supposed to be flown in the canal zone, you know, along with the American flag, along with the American flag. And some American citizens who live in the canal zone, they are called Zonians, and chiefly some American students who are in some canal zone schools, they have been very much against that. They don't want to see the Panamanian flag flying in the canal zone, in any place in the canal zone. And so some American students, you know, they put down the Panamanian flag of their race, they host the American flag alone in some buildings in which both are supposed to be flown. And that caused, of course, some discontentment among the Panamanians, and last evening, many Panamanian citizens, chiefly students too, they entered the canal zone to fly the Panamanian flag. And that was when the problem started, because then the canal zone police fired on them, and even the army was called, and as a result of it, about 9 persons have been killed and more than 150 injured so far. And that is the situation, you know. Now, as far as Panama is concerned, Panama has recalled her ambassador in Washington, and the president of Panama, President Roberto Chiari of Panama, he has charged aggression after the killing of the Panamanian citizens and students. And Panama is going to take the problem to the Security Council, the United Nations Security Council.
The guarded statements of the Deputy Permanent Representative of Panama to the United Nations, Ambassador Vizarentero. And so, the events up to the moment. A crisis in relations between the United States and Panama, but a crisis which, of course, will involve considerable interest by many other nations of the world and undoubtedly will in some way be linked to the confrontation between East and West. Radio New York Worldwide will keep you informed of developments in this story with reports direct from Washington, from the Panama Canal Zone, from the United Nations and the Organization of American States. Mitchell Krause speaking on this special report produced by Mel Burnham for Radio New York Worldwide.